Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday in our question and answer series, Dr. Bloom was answering a question from a young pastor concerning marrying people that have been divorced. Let's listen as Dr. Bloom finishes answering this question today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Let's go on to Romans chapter 7 and verses 2 and 3. There he says, "For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she's free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man." Okay, so death is what ends the marriage. Now, you don't go out and kill the guy in order to be able to marry someone else either, okay? Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 10 through 16. "And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. But, and if she depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother hath a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And if the woman which hath an husband that believeth not, and he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace. For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or what knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife?" Okay, now, I need to make one thing clear about this passage specifically, and there's several things there. At first, he said in verse 10, "Unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord." It's okay, this is straight from God. But then when he says, "But to the rest," in verse 12, "speak I, not the Lord," that doesn't mean that this isn't from the Holy Spirit. Every word of the Bible is God-breathed. What he means by "the Lord," "not I, but the Lord," in verse 10, "yet not the Lord, but I," in verse 12, is this. What he says in verse 12 was not revealed in the Old Testament. So in verse 10, when he says, "Yet not I, but the Lord," this is something that the Bible had already revealed. So in verse 12, when he says, "To the rest speak I, not the Lord," he's not saying that this is not scriptural, that this is not truth, that this is not word for word from God, but he's saying that this is not in the Old Testament. And that's the idea that is there. And so that is why, if we believe that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, that every bit of it is God-breathed, and then you come to this passage and say, "Well, wait a minute. He's saying that this is not God-breathed." No, that's not what he's saying. He's just saying it's not revealed in the Old Testament, but now it is revealed to us today. Okay? So I've read quite a few passages there, more than I normally would. But if you go back and you look at the Matthew 19 passage, verses 7 through 9 imply that the Lord's will from the beginning was marriage until death do us part. There seems to be an exception for fornication only. But understand that fornication is not only any kind of sexual sin, but it's also the idea of one who is unrepentant and continual in that sin. But even then, it is for the hardness of their heart. In other words, God prefers that they endure and allow him to minister grace to their heart to endure it. And that reminds us of an earlier question of 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10, where the Lord told Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. Well, his grace is sufficient for anybody. So that person that is in a situation like that must have their eyes on eternity and know the Lord will give a crown for endurance. For James 1:12 says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord promised to them that love him. So we have that. Now, his other part of that question was, have I ever married anybody that had been divorced? And my answer to that is this. I have not, except in two instances, which means I have two times. One is the couple did not divorce for scriptural reasons, but they were remarrying each other. Neither one had been married to someone else after their divorce. Therefore, it was scriptural for me to do so, and it was in accordance with the passage in Deuteronomy 1. Now, I have had several instances of remarried people whose ex-spouse has remarried. And although divorce was not scriptural, it would not be right to tell the married spouse she needs to divorce and come back to the original spouse. Now, Nehemiah chapter 13, verses 23 through 27 is very interesting in this, as well as Ezra chapters 9 and 10. But I'll just look at this passage in Nehemiah 13, verses 23 through 27, where it says, in those days also I saw Jews that had married wives of Ashdod, of Ammon, and of Moab. And their children spake half in the speech of Ashdod, and could not speak in the Jews' language, but according to the language of each people. And I contended with them, and cursed them, and smote certain of them, and plucked off their hair, and made them swear by God, saying, you shall not give your daughters unto their sons, and take their daughters unto your sons, or for yourselves. Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? Yet among many nations was there no king like him, who was beloved of his God, and God made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, even him did outlandish women cause to sin. Shall we then hearken unto you to do all this great evil, to transgress against our God in marrying strange wives? Well, that's pretty clear, is it not? He really laid it out there for them on that. And this dealt with those that were married to pagans. They were told to come back to their original mates. Now, I've not had that situation. I've counseled men who I thought might be entering a problem that it may be best for them to get that person. Well, I just thought it might be, since they were entering a problem, that it might be best for them to get the person at the Marriage License Bureau to perform the wedding. Even though they seem to have scriptural grounds, I've asked them to do that in several cases. And the report back in those cases is that although they have good second marriages, they're glad they did it that way since now they have children of their own. And so they were happy. You know what? We might have messed up at first, and maybe that wasn't the best way to do it, but we're there, we're in the marriage, so we're not going to go back on it. So again, there have been cases where I have married people that were been divorced, but their ex-mates had already remarried, and so it wouldn't have been proper for them to go back to that person. Okay, well now, Our next question, Brother Jerry Banks will be reading that to us, and we look forward to answering this question. But I warn you, it is one that's going to take a little bit of time to answer.
Dear Dr. Bloom, this is from a listener in Arizona. I was listening to your sermon on your website titled True Thankfulness. You stated that Christian rock was not of God at all. Can you please explain to me your reasoning for this? I don't see how the style and speed of music makes it unholy.
All right, this next question comes from a listener, and let me just preface it by saying that I actually emailed this one back a couple of times because he was also of a different denomination than we are. We're Baptists, and we're fundamental Baptists, and his church is not that, and they are a lot more to the middle of the road, you might say, in a lot of things. And so, since they do Christian rock in their church, this really just kind of threw him off. Now, I appreciate the dignity and the kindness with his questioning, with his answer, should I say, and questions, and instead of coming off and showing a lot of anger. He did not do that. And I really do appreciate, because there are people out there that just say the most awful things because it goes against what they do. And so he's having a hard time, particularly, it seems, about how could the style and speed of music make it unholy. So this is going to be a rather long answer over a couple of days here, but I hope that you will follow along and take notes on it, okay? And maybe some of you that teach Sunday school, some of you that work with teenagers, some of you that work in churches, pastor and so forth, maybe this will be a help to you. So when I looked at his question, I told him the same thing I just said to you, that I appreciate the dignity and the kindness of his question. But then we went into it. Now, this is the answer. To start, we go to these verses, Psalms 145 and verse 17. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. There is no unrighteousness in God. There is no unrighteousness in our Lord. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 through 16, we read this, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all. Again, that word is in all manner of conversation, all matters of life. Why? Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, we're not to fashion ourselves to the former lust. Now, fashioning has the idea of to imitate. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org. With no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.